Is going to be continuing to share on forgiveness. But I want to invite you to turn in your copies of scripture to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be focusing in on verses 9 through 15. I'm going to read some for us and then give us some initial thoughts, and then Pastor Tim is going to lead us in the word this morning. But as you guys are finding your way to Matthew chapter 6, let me pray and ask that God would speak to us this morning through his word. So, Father, we thank you for this time. God, we're grateful for the fact that we get to gather together as a family. And now, specifically during this time now, we humble ourselves before you and before your word. Lord God, I pray that you would speak to us. God, I pray that you would unearth whatever is within us that we're holding on to that needs to get out of the way. God, I pray that you would bring freedom to me, to all of us here, Lord, that we would be able to learn how to be able to trust you with everything, and specifically in this area of forgiveness, Lord. And God, I pray that you would do what only you can do through the power of your Spirit. So God, we love you. We ask for you to speak to us. In your name we pray. Amen. So Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 8, it says this. It says, "Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So before Pastor Tim comes, he asked me to be able to share these two thoughts to be able to get us thinking. So the word forgive there in the original language in verses 12 and verse 14, it's the same Greek verb, which means in this usage, it means to omit or neglect. And in a more precise application, to let go, to give up a debt by not demanding it. So that's what we're being called to do, to let go, give up. It's a debt, to let give up a debt by not demanding it back to you. So that's forgive. And then trespass. Trespass, the same word is used in verse 14 and verse 15. And this is a Greek noun. And in this application, it means a lapse or a deviation from truth and uprightness. It's a sin, a misdeed. So we're called to forgive, to give up, and we're also called to forgive what? Trespasses, sins, lapses, misdeeds. So I just want us to be able to think about that, begin churning in us as if Pastor Tim leads us.
Thank you. So last week, for those of you that were here, if you tried to watch online, you know that my portion of the service last week was about 12 minutes because Debbie Goldsmith shared her heart and shared her testimony last week because for those of you that were here, you know the personal nature of what she shared. We didn't want to record that and put that out for everybody. But one of the things that is as she was able to share her heart about forgiveness, and then what we were talking about last week, and I just want to mention this again, is this whole process. And what I love is because all week long, Debbie's testimony, I've had conversations every day, multiple conversations throughout the week. And you know that the Spirit of God used her proclaiming her heart's truth to just churn up this church family. Every single day, there's been follow-up conversations. And I think what's so super powerful, and I just want to remind you that what we're talking about is that with forgiveness, forgiveness is something that we need to receive from God. And for some of you here this morning, you need to allow yourself to be forgiven. You need to allow yourself to feel forgiven. You need to embrace forgiveness. But one of the things that we talked about is that we're all different personalities within the body of Christ. But here's the thing about forgiveness. Forgiveness is made to be shared. Forgiveness is not made, God does not forgive us so that we can just keep it to ourselves. So that we've got, man, did it again. I thought I tightened it. Okay. There I got it that time. Same as last week. You think I'd learn? Well, see, you're not dealing with the sharpest tool here, all right? But a lot of times we view, like, I want my forgiveness. I want to be forgiven, and you want to feel forgiven from God, but then when it's time for you to pass it on, because the scripture, Jesus is making it pretty plain here. The forgiveness is one of those things that it's kind of like one of those deep litmus tests. It's like, if you want to find out whether you're really genuinely born again and it's past lip service, is it something that you are allowing God to flow through you and be a blessing to other people? You want to be forgiven. And what I've seen a lot in my life is I've been around a lot of religious people that want to talk about forgiveness, but they are harsh, mean, judgmental, critical, and they don't do very well passing forgiveness on. And you know what I love? Is I love how kids, little kids, can set the example of passing on forgiveness. Isn't it amazing? They don't have to understand everything, but they can pass on forgiveness and they can share forgiveness. And one of the things that I think is beautiful, and I'm gonna leave this up here because I want it to be an illustration, that this is not the kind of church family that we're striving to be. And let me just say this, Madison, Orange, Greene County, I want to lay this challenge out again for something that we need to continue to deal with. Some of you have grown up with a lot of people. A lot of us are not, we weren't raised in Madison County. But some of you that you were raised in Madison County and you're sitting here with people that you went to high school with and that you grew up around them, what we've got to be really careful of is that we prejudge people based on their past mistakes so that when they come in here, all of a sudden we cannot be the kind of church family that says, well, I know what that person did. And do you know their story? No, we're going to be the kind of church family that is going to fight to give people grace, and we're going to fight to give forgiveness. And obviously, we're going to be there, and we're going to walk life with each other. And so if the person's struggling with genuine change, you know what helps flush that out? Is you come alongside of them, and you're honest, and you're truthful, and you hold them accountable. You say, hey, man, it looks like you're still struggling with this issue. How you doing? But see, in order to do that, you're not going to do that. You're not going to participate in that unless you genuinely are concerned about the other person. And most of the time, the reason that we don't hand off forgiveness and we don't hand off grace with that level of confrontation is because we make excuses. Because when it's all said and done, we're more concerned about how we look and how we feel and how the person perceives us than we are from genuinely investing in their lives. Man, that wasn't even in the sermon notes. That was a freebie. Some of you are like, wish you'd have passed on that one. You know what I loved as we're talking about things? I really believe, and I've said this over and over again all week long. Debbie's testimony last week, the main thing that I love about it is that what she shared was not neat and clean and pretty and packaged. It was ugly, it was raw, it was messy. And please hear me when I say this. That I believe that the American church and the American church pastors have done a disservice to the biblical truth of forgiveness because we presented forgiveness as something that's almost unattainable and unrealistic. Like it's this black and white, neat little clean package, flip a switch, and we all just live happily ever after. And what I loved about what Debbie was sharing is you saw the rawness of her life, and guess what? The situation that she shared, the person she was talking about died the same way that he had pretty much lived her life, and there was no resolution. But the difference was her. She had personal freedom, and she, did you hear her say, I have no regrets? What an amazing thing when you hear the damage that was done on her that she had no regrets. So real quick, Catherine's going to throw these up there, and what I want us to do, because I'm hoping that we continue to have an ongoing dialogue about this. So let me just give you several things real quick. I'm just going to read through them. It's an overview from last week. several things that I have personally learned through the years. This is me personally. So if you want to argue the veracity or the truth or what you think about these things, you come and dialogue with me and be prepared to defend yourself, because these are real for me personally. I know what they feel like. I know what they look like. Forgiveness does not take away anger and frustration. Some of you have been taught that anger is sin, not in the Bible anywhere. Forgiveness does not always remove the consequences of an action or a decision. It can in certain cases, but not necessarily. Forgiveness is more of a release for the person who has been wronged, lied to, or sinned against than it is for the person who has committed the wrong. Forgiveness does not necessarily restore a damaged relationship, because it takes at least two cooperating people to create a restored relationship. Did you hear me? Some of you have a messed up view of forgiveness because you think if you forgive, then everything's going to be hunky-dory. There's a lot of people in my life that I've forgiven. I don't want to be around them. I still don't like them. I don't trust them any further. I pick them up and throw them across the room, and they annoy me. I pray for them. Is it okay that I said it? No? Okay. Difference between two personalities. No, you understand what I'm saying? Because to have a restored relationship, it takes more than one person. So for us to build back, I can forgive, but if the person doesn't ask for forgiveness, if the person is not repentant, if the person doesn't want to change, if we can't do anything to restore and build a relationship, we can't have functional forgiveness transferring between us. Forgiveness does not create a new desire to like an evil, wicked person. I think I kind of jumped into that one last one. Forgiveness is not trust. You can forgive someone and never trust them. True forgiveness can take place in a moment, but trust is regained by earning it over a period of time. Some of you have damaged marriage relationships. You want to know one of the reasons that Lori and I see people walk away? Because it takes time and dedication, and it's hard to rebuild broken trust. You can forgive, but trust is something that's earned. And I don't feel like within the church we talk about that enough. Forgiveness creates a personal sense of freedom regardless of the outcome. That's what Debbie proclaimed last week. Freedom is a key characteristic of a spiritual warfighter who is learning forgiveness. The freedom that I have in my soul began back in my early 20s because I was so twisted up inside, and the level of hatred and disdain and disgust that I had for someone was so infiltrating me that it was actually a stopgap. It was hindering me from being the kind of minister to the teenagers and the families that I was called to minister to and be a blessing. Once I fought through that nasty, ugly experience between God and I, and it was not pretty. It wasn't pretty for me. I gained a sense of freedom that has only grown stronger. And you know what amazes me is it took me a long time to understand that a lot of the religious people in my life that I annoyed, now I understand there's a difference. I know that I annoy people, okay? That's one thing. I get that. I embrace that. It's fun sometimes. Anyway, so, but then there's this part over here where people were annoyed literally at the freedom that I had in Christ. Because they could not manipulate me. They could not squeeze me. They couldn't work me. And no matter what kind of religious hammer or truth they tried to use on me, I had a newfound freedom in Christ that I was going to hold on to and embrace, because Christ, I had learned what it was for Christ to set me free from anger and bitterness and resentment. And I was living free, and I didn't want to go back. And some of you here this morning, if you get nothing else, I want you to get a glimpse of what godly freedom can do in your life. So as we wrap up today, I want to read Luke 17, 3 and 4 for you. We read it last week. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. Say, Pastor Tim, what does that look like? I'm going to give you a general overview. And please, here's what I want to say. If you're looking for anybody on our leadership team or anybody that's spiritually minded in this church family to give you all the answers, to give you a cookie cutter plan for what forgiveness looks like in your life, we are going to grossly disappoint you, because it's got to be something personal that you work through between you and God. Because it looks different for each personality. And I'm just going to give you a quick overview. I'm not going to read all the verses. I'm going to mention the verses. I'm going to read some bolded highlight portions. I don't know if Catherine has got those for you or not, because I've got a lot of scripture this morning. And all I'm trying to show you is that forgiveness manifests itself differently in different situations. There's some similarities, but forgiveness is not a cookie cutter, clean, straightforward, here's 4 points, here's 3 points, here's 5 points, and it works in every situation the exact same way, because our personalities are different. Are you hanging with me? Forgiveness is not an easy thing, because it's personal and it's real, and we need God's help with it. I'm going to read, I guess I need to read this whole one. I didn't bold anything, right? We're kind of like, man, okay, thank you. She's great back there, by the way. All right, Joseph with his brothers after the death of their father. It's Genesis 50, 15 through 21. I'm going to go ahead and read this whole thing here, and then we're going to jump. I'm going to read some bold sections from the other portions. But this is one of my favorite ones, because this just shows you, if you believe in God and if you're learning to trust him, then at a certain point, we just have to trust him. We got to work through our junk and trust him. Verse 15, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. They knew what they had done to him. They made a purposeful decision. Perhaps Joseph will hate us. And then he said in verse 16, so they sent messengers to Joseph saying, before your father died, he commanded saying, thus you should say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespasses of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now, please forgive the trespasses of the servants of God, of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. That's a deep sentence right there. A lot of reasons to weep, but we won't go into that. Then his brothers also went, and they fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we are your servants. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? Am I your judge? Am I the one that you're ultimately going to stand before? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and for your little ones. And he comforted his brothers, and he spoke kindly to them. The next one is Nabal's wife, Abigail. She saves the entire family from death in 1 Samuel 25. 23 through 24, and I'm not going to read the whole passage here. Abigail, now when she saw David, she dismounted quickly from the donkey. She fell on her face before David and bowed down to the ground. Now, if you don't know the story of Nabal and Abigail, we'll just suffice it to say that he was a selfish, unkind, brash man. And he, by his ingratitude, had put his household in danger of being wiped out the very day that Abigail comes to David. I want you to know she fell on her face before David and bowed down to the ground. Verse 28, she said, please forgive the trespass of your maidservant. And she had brought gifts that showed her repentance and her sorrow. And David actually says to her, thank you for coming and doing this, because you have just kept me from doing something drastic, because I was on my way to wipe out your entire family and household. Another example of 2 Samuel chapter 11 and chapter 12 is you need to go back and read about David, Uriah, and Bathsheba. I'm going to talk about a sordid situation dealing with forgiveness. I'm going to throw this in because I think it's good for us to be reminded. The sacrificial offering for unintentional sin, Leviticus chapter 4. Note the end of the chapter, verse 35. Then the priest shall burn it on the altar according to the offenses made by fire to the Lord. So the priest shall make atonement for his sin that he has committed, and it shall be forgiven him. I want to mention Jonah chapter 3, verses 5 through 10, and I'm not going to read all this, but it'd be great for you to write that down. It's a reminder of the king and the people of Nineveh as they respond to Jonah's preaching. Verse 10, then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. They repented, they changed. An entire city, the capital city of Assyria, repented from the king all the way down. And God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Now, let me just say this. If you've ever studied and you've read the Old Testament prophets, they had already prophesied that the Assyrian Empire would be judged by God and they would fall. But please hear me. Some of you, some of the stuff that you've been listening to, and I'm thankful that you're studying, but I feel like it's important to say this. When the people of Nineveh repented, and you can look this up, they stayed the judgment of God for about 100 years, 3 generations. This entire Assyrian capital genuinely repented, and God responded to their repentance, and then the prophecy that had been made was pushed back for 100 years. That's powerful. Some of you say, I'm worried about my children and grandchildren and what's going to happen to this nation. Then repent, address your sin, purify yourself, humble yourself before God, and see what kind of incredible things he can do through us as we bind together with a repentant spirit. The people of Nineveh are a great example for us this morning. Let's move on. Acts chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. This is Peter preaching at Solomon's portico. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he is thus fulfilled. He's saying specifically to these people, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And I'm just pointing this out because I think that a lot of times we forget in the scripture that repentance and forgiveness go hand in hand. Repentance is important. John the Baptist preparing the way of Messiah in Matthew 3, 7 through 12. I'll read the highlighted portion. This is what he says to these religious people, as he calls them a bunch of vipers. He said, therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance and do not think to say to yourselves. And then he goes on to address the excuses that they would bring from a religious standpoint. He's saying, if you are genuinely repentant, if you are going to change, then put your actions where your mouth is and show me what you're doing. Show me with your lifestyle that you really are repentant. Do you know that that's important in a relational standpoint? You can forgive somebody, but if you don't see a repentant response that embraces the forgiving that's being reciprocated. Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. This is Paul to the Roman people, verse 5. But in accordance to your hardness and your impenitent or unrepentant heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Brothers and sisters, we live in a day where a lot of people want to talk about faith. They want to talk about love. They want to talk about Jesus. but it's devoid. It's a forgiveness that's devoid of any level of repentance or change on the part of the person. We are supposed to be penitent people. We're supposed to have a level of remorse about our sin. And if we've ever seen a time in the church, quote unquote, big church, where people are actually brazen about their sin, have no repentance, no level of remorse or contrition about what they've done, it's right now in this present culture. That's not what the Bible teaches. So many incredible conversations, and I'm asking for us to keep the dialogue going. I want to give you four quick points to help with daily living and guidance. There's a process of forgiveness in any relationship. These are simple, but these are truths that continue to ring true in application. Take these four things and look through all throughout the scripture and see if you don't see this to be true. Number one, honest humility. And please, I'm just going to say this. You can evaluate me. You can come and talk to me. But what we've lost in church leadership, especially among big name, cranking mega churches, is we've lost a sense of humility. Back in the day, I thought it would be cool because I had people pushing me. I had timduggins.com. I launched it, paid for the web service, and I thought I was going to use it because so many other people were doing it. But the longer that I posted stuff, the Spirit of God kept, and I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying that for me, there was something about that where it, for me personally, it was me endorsing myself. It was me promoting myself. It was trying to, and because it was timduggins.com. And I'm not saying anybody that has a website like that is in sin. I don't mean it that way. But what God was calling me to was not a ministry of self-promotion, but a ministry where I'm trying to lead by example and I'm trying to live with our church family. And you see my life, you see my struggles, you see my honesty, because I still believe that honest humility matters, especially in relationships. Some of you husbands and wives, you know what's going to make a big breakthrough for you? It's for you to get your eyes off yourself and experience and live out genuine humility and be more concerned about the other person and less concerned about everything that you call yours. And it's the same way with forgiveness and relationships. Number two, repentance, change. See, I keep asking, but I keep going back because I don't know what to do. Well, then ante up your game and get more people involved and get off your backside and get some help. And if you don't want help, then why don't you just be honest with yourself and the other people around you and just look at them and be honest? It'll be refreshing for you to just say, I don't want to change. You know how refreshing that is to me when I hear that from somebody? Pastor Tim, I know you're going to be disappointed in me, but I'd rather just do my sin. And you know what my response is? Usually it's a hug and a hallelujah. Thank you for being honest. And they look at me like, I thought this is a part where the judgment and chastisement come. I'm like, no, because for you to eventually know God, you've got to come to him honestly and truthfully and be straightforward. Because we're not going to BS God. So we might as well stop doing that to ourselves and other people. Repentance and change. Number three, forgiveness. Are you allowing yourself to be forgiven? Are you allowing yourself to function like you've forgiven? Are you allowing yourself to be forgiven by God and then being able to be a vessel and pass that on? That's what we've been talking about. Number four, the process of restoration based on the first three, staying active in your life. We're in the trenches with some of you couples. And the process of restoration is not a light switch. Lori and I are old enough that we know that when we count the cost, when we say to you that we're going to walk life with you and we're going to walk alongside of you, that means being in the trenches and trying to stay consistent and be there, because there is a process of restoration and it doesn't happen overnight. It happens over a long period of time where you got to come back to honest humility, where you've got to come back to genuine change and repentance and figure out what that means. And you've got to come back and you've got to embrace forgiveness. And just like what the scripture says, sometimes it's multiple times a day. And you're so wrapped up in your old way and your habits that you want to change, but you keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. You can't give up. It takes time because there is a process of restoration. If you're here this morning and nobody knows that you're about ready to give up on your relationship, I'm going to ask you, hang in there. Unless it's an abusive, perverted, sinful one, turn the key on, put the hammer down, call us. Say, Pastor Tim, are you telling me? Some of you, you need to boogie away from where you are. But most people need to hang in there and not give up. So, the goal for a new standard of freedom living in God's upside down kingdom, man, Jay, our verse, Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. If we were just committed to doing that as a church family, what would the Spirit of God be able to do through us this coming year? Instead of all these things that we've just read about, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Father, in the name of Jesus, purify us. Start with me. God, we yield ourselves to you. Add to your church. God, this community, this region needs us to be your people in pureness. Help us to understand what forgiveness looks like. God, in the name of Jesus, we're asking you to blow our minds and do great and mighty things. Start in our hearts and our souls. Because of Jesus, we ask. Amen. Let's stand. Let's proclaim his name.